Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the fifth month, the 25th day in the year 2025, and it's the fifth Lord's Day after the resurrection which the Lord hath made.
Blessed be God,
we Christ is truly risen.
Alleluia.
Lamb of God will take us away the sins of the world.
Have mercy.
And he's getting ready to ascend into heaven this week.
Yeah.
Coming up on fifth weekday, Ascension Day. If you don't have to work, don't work. If you have to work, there's nothing you can do about it. Just offer it up. But if you don't have to work, try to keep that day as holy as possible. It's a big holy day. But what does the world care? They don't care. They don't care about Christ ascending into heaven. A lot of other stuff, like even the Prats, we were just talking about that with Brother Ryan and Brother Bruce. They're just like the Jews, though. When the Jews, like Bruce was saying, he was reading the Old Testament prophets, right? And when you read the Old Testament prophets, I mean, they're talking about Christ. I mean, everything in the New Testament is fulfilled. Not everything, but all of the first coming and all that. And they don't see it, right? So the Protestants are the same way. Okay, they got the New Testament, right? They read it, right? But they don't see the Catholic Church. They deny a lot. I mean, you could even say they might even be guiltier in some ways. Because they deny so much, it's unbelievable, from the New Testament. And they don't believe in our rituals. Like, we're just talking, too, about, like, the Messianic Jew guy that we posted up that clip, and he was doing a good job trying to witness to the Jews over in Israel about Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 9:6.
That was good.
And he believes in that part of the stuff about the Catholic churches. It's created by Constantine and Whore of Babylon and all that. Okay, because he's looking at what he sees today and all that. But still, that guy, we're going to still need miracles to get his attention. That's for sure. Yeah. But when we get miracles and get his attention, I have no doubt we will convert people like that. Yeah. But you're going to need a miracle because there's such an apostasy over it, just to direct them to us, to read what we're saying. But to me, if you want to be a faithful Jew, you want to be a real Christian, even they should know, even he should know. Without knowing us, he should know without knowing us about the Catholic Church's rituals, our sacraments, how glorious it is, how it's fulfilled and even embellished and exemplified the Old Testament rituals. Yeah. Protestants, what do they got? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing. It's empty. It's bare.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was converted, I was impressed with that, how it correlated back to the Old Testament.
Right. You're reading about the glory of the Old Testament and the temple and all the rituals and the high priest and the priesthood. So what? You think God's not going to have that journey to a covenant earth? You know why I think the Prats don't want to have all of that? Or even, like you say, just Messianic Jews. It's weird that they don't want it, because that's really bad by itself.
Yeah.
But you could have some people say, if I belong to the Catholic Church, I got to obey God's commandments.
Yeah,
just right. I got to obey a man. I got to be under a hierarchy. I got to be told what to do. And it's so much easier to be a Protestant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. I just got to believe in Jesus. I can do whatever I want.
No tradition. You don't have to. All the wonderful tradition that the Catholic Church has.
I know.
How did they get there? How did they get where they are now?
Well, if they study tradition, they would know about the Catholic Church. That's why I think, I'm not saying all of them, but I think probably most of them, they're doing something where they don't want to obey God's commandments. They don't want to obey God's commandments. And they don't want to obey a man. They got the democracy thing.
They don't have to. Their religion doesn't require them to do that.
I know, like, even certain people, I think Trump even, he looks at the Vatican, he does admire it. Even Saudi Arabia. That's one thing Trump does. They look and say, he admires the ritual. He admires the order and the glory. He's not right. He's got a lot of problems. Other people look at that and they get... You don't even want to use jealous or envious. They think it's something evil. By looking at a glorious temple, a glorious church, it's evil. It's carnal. It's greedy. It's whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's glorious. It's God's home.
That Calvinistic attitude.
Right. But I will tell you, most people, when you look at even King Charles III, when he was, is it the third now or the fourth? What is he now? The fifth, fourth, third, third, whatever he is. Anyway, King Charles III, when he was coronation, it was beautiful. There was some heresy, bad stuff there at the end, but there was a lot of good stuff. And when even this anti-pope, you know, he's a bastard when he's coronated. Although he left out a lot of stuff at that coronation with the triple tier and the power of the pope is gone. But there's still, what I'm getting at is when you look at it, and you look at the car, you look at the glory. Okay. So, I mean, that's what the Old Testament had when God had to build a temple. What do you want God's home to be like? Walking into a McDonald's?
Yeah.
Going into a barn where they have like a hoedown? What do you call them? What do you call it? A hoedown or a hoopie? Hoopla? What do they call it?
Hoop nanny.
We going to the barn having a hoop nanny. This be God's home. It's a hoot nanny. We don't have no gold in here. We don't have no silver in here. We don't have no glory in here. Everybody wear your worst clothes.
Yeah,
smear some junk over you so you stink when you come in too. Why not? We don't want it to be glorious. My thing is, though, a lot of people, when they look at glorious things, they do like it. Even when you're watching the Crown movie and the Victoria, they're saying, we're here to show the people that there's a higher ideal in the world, a higher order. So even if people can't be living in their castle, they feel like they have part of it. They can visit it. They can look at it. So that's the part of the thing where the Prots are so bad. And the Messianic Jews, because they got it from the Prots, where they're putting down the glory of the church. Right? I mean, the Bible even condemns them. I mean, when they condemn gold, right? And a lot of that stuff comes from the Stoics, too.
Yeah.
The Stoics were bastards and the iconoclasts who brought that stuff in here.
And the philosophers.
Yeah, I'd like to follow Prot around and find out if he's got like a golden watch.
Yeah.
Or his wife's got a gold ring that he gave her.
Yeah.
I say, what are you doing? What are you doing with that ring?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that ring?
Yeah.
Oh, you can have it on your hand, but you don't want to have it in God's home?
Yeah.
And you look at these Protestant preachers, man, they robbed it. They're making tons of money. I mean, they got like, they're gangsters, a lot of them. A lot of it's just a money thing, you know? They got these,
Jim Baker.
They got these 747 jets, you know, and they got stuff they don't need, and they're soaking the people, you know.
Yeah. I love it, Pete.
why are there so many people? Why are there so many people in Orbis Auto? It's an easy charge. It's easy. You don't got to do anything. You don't got to obey anybody. Just believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
He'll save you no matter how bad you are. He loves everybody, so therefore he's going to save everybody. Is that what that means? You don't have to love him back? No. You don't have to obey his commandments? No, you don't have to. Just believe in Jesus.
Ignore everything else.
That's against natural law. You know, everybody under judgment day can say, well, I was taught that when I grew up, and my parents believed. And the natural law tells you that's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? That you can do whatever you want without true repentance and God's going to let you in heaven?
Yeah.
It's like a kid who goes wild in the house and he starts like beating up all his brothers and sisters or raping his sisters.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, he believes in Jesus. He said, leave him alone. That's why he can't condemn the homos today. Who say they believe in Jesus. Or they believe in Jesus, they're saved.
Yeah.
Also, do you leave him in the house? No, what do? You kick him out.
Yeah.
Let alone, you're going to let this guy in the everlasting earthly paradise the way he is? So many things that are... You know, the Prots are just as bad as the Jews and the nominal Catholics. You are misinterpreting the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, they got like a double testament curse. And the Jews are bad too because they misinterpreted the Old. Now you're misinterpreting the Old and the New. But you're basically doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're looking at Bible verses and you're purposely ignoring them. This veil of darkness is really weird on people. Because when we send them stuff, when we give them information that they don't like because it stings them, they ignore it. They don't even respond. They don't even know how to answer you.
Yeah.
It's like you said, I know you looked at this. I know you read this. So why am I not hearing anything from you? If you knew it was just bullshit, you didn't believe in it, you would say something. It's wrong. Here's why. The fact that they're not answering you, they're scared. That, if I believe this, I'm going to have to do the hard thing. That, you know, a lot of the church, a lot of these prophets will come into would be the Vatican II Church, and they are. Why? Because it's easy.
Yeah.
The Vatican II Church is a Protestant church
yeah.
with some rituals. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's why when they get that J.D. Vance and you get these guys converting into the Vatican II Church, it's just Protestant.
Yeah. Yes.
You, they want to come with us? Listen to us. Oh, no, he's a tyrant. He's a dictator. You know, I go, no. He says everybody's going to hell. He's telling me what I got to do.
Yeah.
All right, now let's see. Who do we have here? We're doing good with the fruit sales. Everything's going really good. Everything's really going very good as we're moving along here. You know, even with your sales, it's interesting you were telling me too, is now that they can buy it online, you don't have to stay there.
Right.
And you got like, I mean, you made like $1,500 yeah. and well, like they're all there like an hour or two. They got to be there all day at the stand because you already got the pre-orders.
Right.
And so I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You got to run the cars, all those people at once.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one of your main ways of making money, along with the stands too.
Yeah.
So you got anybody, any of these young guys are of working age that want to come into the church.
Right.
We got the work for them. What better work than to work? Even Brother Sal, if he didn't have to get extra money to help his family out, he could already be doing this.
Yeah.
Right now, even, but he wouldn't be. We don't have a lot of money right now, so we're not going to be able to pay him what he's getting paid now. But if he was willing to do it, we're ready now. But eventually, when you start making more money and being able to pay more, then that can happen.
Yeah.
Basically, he can certainly use somebody to do these long hauls.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going. You could split up the long driving,
rotate
on picking these things up. But anyway, the job is there. Even if, like, in Ireland, they got to work for, like, even if Sal's working for non-Catholics, I had to. I was telling the brothers in Ireland, when I first came out of the monastery, I had to go back to work again.
Yeah.
God still demands you to do what you have to do to take care of yourself, and don't sit back and think God's going to do everything. You get a lot of penance when you got to go out and work.
Yeah.
I had to work as an optician. Then when I came out here, I was working on a paper route for 1 year. And at the same time, I was reading and studying. I was working part-time, so I can also spend the rest of my time. I was talking to the Brother Matthew, Brother Declan about how important it is to work.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Will worked in the chili factory for how many years?
Oh, 9 years.
9 years.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to come in this church and not have to work and sit on your ass and not do anything?
I was like 120 in there.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
If you're able to work and you're working age and you don't have a job, you got a big problem. I don't, even if you have spiritual gifts and all that, God still requires this, at least in the beginning, as a way to prepare you for when the day comes when a lot of you guys are just going to be doing spiritual work. Then you're not going to be doing any type of, but right now, that's like your preparation. That's what God wants from you. When you go out there and work for other people especially, or you're under somebody, if they're working for you, you're learning obedience, you're learning discipline, you're learning order. If a man doesn't have that, he's not even like a man. He ought to be ashamed of himself. He's like a Freddy the Freeloader. You know Freddy the Freeloader?
Freddy.
He stays home, he don't do nothing, he takes money from everybody else. It's okay, it's one thing if you can't get a job, but you better be trying to get a job if you could. And don't be making excuses and wait. Some people make excuses. I'm going to wait till I get the ideal job for me. Well, especially in today's world, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Some people are afraid of manual labor. Now, if you're weak and you're not physically strong, then maybe you can't do manual labor. I understand that. Then get another job where you don't have to do manual labor. My paper route wasn't manual labor. When I was an optician, that's not manual labor. It's, you know, you make eyeglasses. It's not like your work. The cross in my work was, which is, I'd rather have done your work, was I got to deal with people. Now I'm coming out of the monastery, and I got to deal with people. When you're selling them, I got to talk to them. You got to show them all the quirks of the people. All the, you got to put up with it. It's so bad. I think the worst thing was when you would get and it's the way it is today now. Like all the women rule their husbands, almost all of them. So when you get a woman coming with her husband, and the husband's buying glasses, and she's dictating the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I got to sit there and go on. I go in the back, and I would do an exorcism prayer, the St. Michael prayer. And then when I would put the glasses on them, they're trying to glasses. I would take the glass and put holy water on them. You know, on the legs. They call them the legs or the temples.
Yeah.
I'd put holy water on it and then put it on her.
Yeah. It'll burn right here.
Burnt marks right here. It burned right into their head.
It's nice now.
But working, all I'm getting at, even if you're called with special talents, even if you're very smart, even if you're very good, I had to work and look at the work God has given me, and I had to work. So you think you're going to come in here and there was a period of time when I was telling the brothers where God will free you up, even in Ireland. He'll free you up eventually, he will, but that work thing is still important in the formation to be a good Christian, to be a good man, even on the natural plane. And God requires that. So like I can say, you can come along and say, I got these great gifts spiritually, and I got all these different gifts, but I don't want to work a job out there. I don't want your spiritual work. I don't want it. I don't do it for me. I don't want you working. I don't want it. Because it's going to be tainted. And if you're not working, and you could be working, your spiritual work's going to be tainted. It's going to be flawed. You're not going to get it the right way. You're not going to do it the right way. You're going to mess it up. But, you know, and I would like, and this is interesting, because I was just telling a brother out there in Ireland even, there is a period of time where then finally God will say, okay, you worked enough, out like manual labor. Now, Richard, in my case, then you freed me up from that. As people started to come in, I was getting tithes. Not even a lot, but I didn't need a lot. In the beginning, it was just rot. And we were living in the trailer park, and we're eating out of dumpsters. We were taking food out of dumpsters. Will came down here, was living in a caboose for a whole year. And you think you're going to come in here, you want a fancy home, you want all this right away? Be contented with what God gives you. Don't complain when you gotta work. He worked for 9 years in the chili factory. Brother Sal's working there. He's not gonna work there. He's looking for other jobs too in the meantime that are better. That's good too. Look for the best job you can get for the money you can get. If he didn't need as much money as he needed, we'd have him working here right now. It's up to him.
Yeah.
We could have, but he won't be making a lot of money right now because we don't have a lot. But rent free, you'd have all the food you want. He could be living like a king, even working for us, but he needs to help his family in that. So you calculate how much money you need. I told the brothers over there, I was working part-time when I first came out because I wanted to spend the rest of my time with religious stuff when I came out of the monastery. So I was working as an optician. My friend Keith McFarland, a really good friend of mine, he's still alive, I hope God converts him, and he gave me a job there. And I says, I can only work 3 days a week because I wanted to get at least 4 days off so I could... So and I got to 3 days a week, and even the days I was working, I would wake up earlier so I could do my prayers and my Bible readings and my writings. So at the same time, I'm getting my spiritual work done, even in the morning, the days I had to work, and the days I had off. I was really getting more work done. And if I didn't work, that spiritual writings that I have would be garbage. It wouldn't be good. I could sit down there. If I didn't want to take a job and I want to have, I want to do it 7 days a week, I don't want to have no manual labor, no work, my work would be tainted. It would be messed up. I could sit there for like 20 years and try to solve something that would never come to me because God wouldn't give it to me. I've seen it many times. So you're working. You're doing the manual labor. You don't realize how much grace you do realize how much grace you're getting if you've done it. You get experienced by it. And then all of a sudden, you sit down on the next day, your day off. I'm working 3 days. Here's my day off. And I got this deep theological thing I'm thinking about, and it just flows. It's there. Something I could have never got, ever, 30 years, 40 years. And if I didn't do my work, that wouldn't have came to me. So you've got to be very careful about being lazy or being rebellious, and you don't want to obey authority. The good thing about working for somebody is it gets rid of rebellion. That's why a lot of kids send their kids who are rebellious to the Marines, so they can straighten them out. Or a football, when you belong to a football sporting. That's why I say the people we're going to convert here are going to be mostly soldiers and sports people that have to obey have to obey their coach. Marines have to obey their and when you go into the Army, you got to obey your hierarchy. There's a lot of things there. And when God sees that you have the ability to work and you're not really doing it, you're not trying to do it, or you're trying to avoid it, you're in deep shit. And I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many religious gifts you got. I can tell you one thing, it's all going to be tainted. You can know all these languages, you can look things up, you can search things up. It's all going to be tainted. But, of course, if that's the first step, you're going to need, that's like what I call it, an introductory step into being a good Christian man, is to do that kind of work. Even if we had kids where you train them up to war. I'd have all my kids take an MMA, mixed martial arts for sure, weapons training. Not just guns, just swords and knives, nunchucks, those chuckles, you go like this, bang, bang, bang! I'd have everything. And I have them working. Today, not allowed to have kids work, because they call it child abuse or something if you have put a kid to work. They went into these...
What they're doing to kids is child.
They went into these Amish people, and the Amish people, and then the kids are working, and they're happy. They're milking the cows, they're sweeping out the barn, and they go, whoa, look at... Would you have the Amish kid play with the Barbie doll and become a homo or what? What do you want the kid to do?
Drag shows.
Yeah.
School is child abuse.
That's child abuse.
Drag shows.
But it's good we're talking about this because, at the same time, for like the brothers in Ireland too, and Declan's got a good job now, and these guys and Matthew they always worked and all that. It's okay to want it eventually. Just do the spiritual work of God one day when that time comes. It happened with me. But it didn't happen overnight. Yeah. I had to work as a optician. Then I had to work on a paper route up here when I came out to New Mexico. So, and then finally, when I started to get some people and started to get ties, I was able to be freed up to do God's spiritual work full time. And a lot of you, all you brothers in here, friendly, when we start getting more people in here, your job is going to be mostly concerned with spiritual work, as bishops, as leaders in the church, as teaching people, training people, catechizing people, guiding people. Other people are going to come and can take up those manual labor jobs. But you still need to be doing those manual labor. You need to have that manual labor in your lifetime where you're doing that kind of labor, where you're doing that kind of work. Because if you're not doing that and you rebel against authority or you're lazy, you're done. You won't even stay in the church. You'll be out. You'll be gone.
I can't believe how many times our customers, when Ryan was helping us sell at the stand, and he was like 7, 8, 9, 10, they, oh, do you know your math? How are you doing without going to school? And he was giving change out, and yeah, I guess you know your math. You know, half the kids going to school didn't know.
They can't even give change. Brother Ryan, when he was about this big, and I knew him since he was this big, he worked.
Yeah.
He never went to school. His parents put him to work on the farm, and he loved it. And so you didn't hear Sister Laura back there probably, but she would say people would come to the stand when he was like 7 years old and go, aren't you in school?
Yeah.
What are you doing over here? Yeah. Don't you even know? Don't you learn math? Yeah. And here he is selling the fruit and giving her change, bing, bing, bang, boom, bang. And they're going, what? He is so much smarter in the real sense than these kids that go to school. You can't even compare it.
We even had one lady try to quiz
him. And the real things of life, yeah.
One lady tried to quiz him. What's this and that? 2 and 2 is 4, you know?
She was trying to see how much he learned.
Yeah.
You guys are the funniest. I wish I had a button on my shirt. I'm homeschooled.
Yeah. I'm homeschooled, shut up.
Yeah.
Because they see him during the day. They're working at selling the fruit. All these kids today, they're playing with Barbie dolls, Ken dolls, this stupid, goofy stuff on TV they're looking at, these dumb... I play war games myself, but they play these goofy, wacky, diabolical... they look at Mr. Rogers, they're effeminate, they're faggy, they're lazy. Even Kennedy, what's his name, Robert Kennedy, is Robert J. He did say, and he's right, he said the kids are now the fattest, the laziest, the sickest they've ever been in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
The kids are a mess.
They don't have any outdoor
activity. And absolute, no exercise, no activity,
lazy
bastards. That's why the United States is never going to come back. You got a whole bunch of spoiled brats in America. The Mexicans got to come here to do all the work, you know, I know why, because they work. A lot of your American kids are a bunch of lazy. Even if you're Mexicans over here for maybe 2 or 3 generations, he might become lazy too.
I pulled into In-N-Out Burger over in California, and this family pulls up, and I'm sitting there eating my hamburger, And these freaky kids get out of the car. They got purple hair and all this. And they've been on their phone the whole time in the car. And now they're still on their phone. And they're walking into the restaurant.
On the phone. On the phone. You know when they had these horrible movies that I must confess I watched, and I had a Addams Family, and like, that's what you're looking at, the Addams Family.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's the Addams Family. Yeah. Yeah, just take a walk in the Walmart, you got the Addams Family. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's reality. Yeah. And you look at it, you go, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, if you ever believe there can be a third sex, like an it, well, they're trying to do their best at that. Yeah,
I know you through.
Yeah, and there was a cousin it in the Addams Family, I think.
Non-Christian Christian people, but yeah, every once in a while I see the Mennonites. I will watch some broadcasts. Yeah. They get their kids out there working in that farm right away.
Oh, right. And they're happy.
Yeah, they are.
That's what makes
it. Can't wait to start driving.
This is a stupid thing. Like when you're a kid, you're like got some type of mental retardation. If you train your kid up young, that's what really makes a child happy. What you're really making your kid lazy. You're gonna wait till he gets till he's a teenager, then he goes out and work. It's already too late. That's not. I mean, he could learn even then, but it's gonna be harder for him. So. All your kids are spoiled today. I'm saying, and when the kids come in here and have been spoiled like that, they gotta. You can break it out. You can get rid of it. Go out and work. Go out and work for somebody. Be under a boss. Yeah. Be under. You have to work several hours. You know.
It gives them some self pride and purpose.
It has a lot. It's something on the natural plane that God and even the Catholic Church would even demand of all the young boys, and the women would have to be able learning how to take care of the house. Mm-hmm. That's a job in itself. Cooking, cleaning, how to manage a house, how to make sure you have all the right foods and all the stuff, and taking, and even the woman would help out in the farm sometimes, picking out crops and all that. So this is the stuff that really makes somebody happy, that makes them truly wise, truly smart, and diligent and joyful. All that other stuff, you got a lazy brat, rebellious kid that's not even happy with himself, so either kills his family, goes out and kills someone else, or signs up to an Antifa group, or just sits on his butt and is a freeloader for the rest of his life.
Did you ever have a sermon like that? Did you ever hear a sermon what you just said?
No, because they don't. They want the I knew how. I thank God. My mother did force me to go out and work. I thank God for that. But they waited a little too long, though. I was like probably a teenager. They should have had me working when I was young. But I went through all that. You know, sit in front of watch these goofy shows.
Yeah.
Your kid doesn't have to, you know, work.
Yeah.
If they taught me how to work when I was like 7 years old, it wouldn't have been so hard for me when I was a teenager. It was hard when I first had to go out and work, but they did force me. That was good. I went to the factory, worked. I had all kinds of jobs.
Yeah.
And I got used, and they were right about that. So fine. But the thing they were wrong about was it wouldn't have been hard for me if I grew up working.
Yeah.
It's like you wake up in the morning when as soon as you use your reason, 7 years old. What do? I go to work.
Yeah.
What do? I got to obey my boss. I got to obey my father. I go to work. I've always gone to work. I don't know any other way. But if you wait till you're a teenager, it becomes harder. But once you start working, then you can break it. Then I think you get used to it. And you see the benefits.
There's this comedian guy I saw. He goes, I forget how he says. Funny, but have you seen them farm kids and all the chores they got? Man, when I was a kid, all we had to do was take the trash down to the street and you shared it with your brother once a week, you know.
Yeah. How true that is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
Did you take the trash out?
Yeah, I
know. Hey. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to take the trash out. All right, I get off my ass and take
really
the trash out. They breed lazy, this is democracy, this is sinful capitalism, they breed lazy, rebellious people.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for sports in suburbia, they'd be lost. I mean, sports actually is...
The what?
The sports is the only thing the suburban kids really get to have a chance to... Get
and sports is a good thing.
Yeah.
Sports is good, why? Because it teaches kid discipline.
Yeah.
He has to obey somebody. That's why... The two outlets for a lot of these kids, because they're not getting it from anywhere else, to learn obedience and to stop being lazy, is sports and the military. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of times their parents would send their kids to the military to try to straighten them out. But sometimes even they, if they don't straighten out after all that, then they're just They're a bad unit. What do you call it? You're a bad unit. You're done. You're done. Throw him out. He's gone.
Alex sent himself to the military. His parents didn't send him.
Oh, you went on your own? I didn't know that.
No, they
didn't send you?
No.
Oh, yeah. They didn't want to send you. They, yeah. That was a good move on his part, you know? But I'm not saying everybody that goes to the military likes it. Some will go there and they don't. It doesn't always work, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just rebellious. Then they'll kick you out of the military. Yeah. You'll be kicked out. And your whole life, you're just going to go along like that. You're going to be kicked out from one place after another. And you're just going to be... a man that's like that, if he ever had a family, he ain't going to be able to take care of his family.
Yeah.
Chaos in his own family. A lazy dad who's rebellious. You're going to have rebellious kids. Mm-hmm. And your wife's going to start getting angry at you because you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're not trying to take a house. You're being rebellious. So you can sit on your own little house all by yourself for the rest of your life with no family, with nobody, because you don't want to listen to anybody, you know, and get drunk all day or do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens too when you're like that, you got no grace. God's grace is away. You're under a curse.
Yeah.
You're never going to be happy. But that's, anyway, because I was talking to them on what the battle plan was. And I was telling Declan and Matthew too, and I was saying, because it's good to want to have things but you want to make sure you can afford it, and you don't want to live over your means. And like I said, but I didn't buy any of these places until I had cash. I never took a loan out from the Jew bastard, ever. And the first, one of the things, not the first house I bought, Ron and I, we had the cash for that. That was a miracle, even this one. But I borrowed an interest-free loan from a couple of the brothers, and I paid them all back like in 1 year.
Yeah.
So I never went to the Jew bastard. And then the other properties I got, I had to wait a couple of years of me working to save up money to buy those properties.
Yeah.
Then when I had that money, I wouldn't go to the Jew bastard to get it. So if God wants you to have a property, sometimes you have to go to the Jew and get a mortgage. You can't help it.
Yeah.
So I'm not against that. Average person's working out there. They want to have a home. It's better to have a home and pay a mortgage and rent because at least you own some of it.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do that. But what I'm saying is if you're living in a situation that's pretty comfortable, don't try to be looking for something bigger and better if it's going to put you in debt or it's going to cost more. The other thing is, too, and this I'm trying to tell the brothers, this is particularly the brother in Ireland now because it's going to copy what went on over here. So first, when I finally didn't have to work anymore, Ron came along and a couple of other people were giving me tithes. I was living in the RV park here in Artesian,
yeah.
RV park. And it was very inexpensive, but we had to eat out of garbage cans and all that to make,
right.
If I didn't want to work, I could. And I'd rather do that than have to work, but I was able to maintain and do all my spiritual work. Then I said, we needed a bigger place, because I need a place to store my books and all that. And then we prayed on it, and was it like a year later or that Ron finally walked by the place on town that I'm living in, and he saw a for sale sign?
Yeah.
And he says, Rich, I'm going to offer the guy $5,001. He says, always put the one at the end of it. Brother Ron might be here listening to us. $5,001.
Yeah.
So he said, I'll send it to the guy.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So and the guy wasn't living in, he was living in North Carolina or something. So we sent him the letter. And it's still, 6 months later, finally we got a letter back from the guy. We forgot all about it.
Yeah.
And he agreed to it.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm just telling the brothers, be patient.
Yeah.
God doesn't know you can also be careful. Don't, I want something, give it to me now. A spoiled brat.
Mm-hmm.
They always want everything right now. I want it now. I want it now. If I don't get it, I want it now. I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
He shows you patience. Be patient. It'll come to you in his time, not in your time. Be patient. So then even 6 months later, I had to wait 6 months more. And finally, it came through. And that's God saying, now it's time, right? And then the same thing happened. Then we're living over there, and I says, I would like to have a place that's not totally out in the wilderness, close enough from here, so it's not far enough, but still a little bit out there with some property. And I said, 5 miles away. And we're living in that house where Will was here. He was even in the trailer park, worked on the trailer park. And I don't know, was it 5 years or something? 5 years later, we ended up getting this property for a great price. 2.38 acres, all the stuff on it. It was a great price. It was and there's enough. Okay. So what I'm telling the brothers in Ireland, eventually God will open up to them other properties because the majority of my opinion is that I think there is going to be a church in Ireland.
Yeah.
There, 80, if I had a gambling man, 75% I think they are meant to be in Ireland as a church. 25% no, they're all going to be over here. Because Ireland is a focal point for Europe.
Yeah.
And it, remember, Ireland was also used to convert Europe when it went bad and lost the faith.
Yeah.
They sent missionaries from Ireland to reconvert Europe. Europe is very close. France, Germany, even Hector, who would like to come over here, but he only gets 2 weeks off out of the year. I said, it's not worth paying you to come over here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He says he can go over to Ireland on $21 from Austria.
Yeah.
$21 to go to Ireland. But here's my point on the Ireland thing. So I said, we still don't know for sure. So I told the brothers, look, if God wants you to be over here, it's going to happen this way. Because you know you're not going to be able to get over here on some permanent legal basis because you got to take the Constitution and all that stuff. God's going to give me a dream or speak to me on a wake, give them a dream. We all have the same dream. Get all the brothers in Ireland over here on a visa for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then when they come over here during that 3 months, all hell's going to break loose and they're never going to go back.
Yeah.
If God wants them over here, that's the way it would happen.
Yeah.
I told them in the meantime, it's good for them to visit. Matthew's going to visit. Declan eventually is going to visit. So it's good to visit. But as far as staying here permanent, God's going to be have to when it orchestrates that.
Yeah.
And if God wants it done, it's going to be done.
Yeah.
But what I try, don't worry about it. Don't be overly concerned. Don't be, oh, I just wish I can get there. Maybe God doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, God wants you to be permanently in Ireland, then accept that and be contented with it and be joyful in it. And then when you embrace that, then you're not going to have any conflicts.
Yeah.
It's still okay to want to try to come over here. I even told him, try the green card lottery. So you do what's humanly possible. And I noticed that there's a lot of things we did here. Remember the solar? We worked on the solar thing for like 10 years before we actually did it.
Right.
And when you really can't do it and you're having a lot of problems and it's not working, just back off and wait. And then when the time was right, it happens. So if God wants to convert to Ireland, and I told the brothers there, it's a good thing to want to have a bigger house with property and all that. It's going to happen, and once you start getting converts, and we know we're going to get them, it's dogma. As long as we stay faithful, it's dogma, we're going to get a lot of converts. It's in the Bible. We're going to convert people, right? That's when you're going to start getting a lot of tithes, a lot of money, and none of you guys are going to have to do any type of manual labor. You can just have people manage it. You can even put people in charge to do this and that. You're going to do spiritual work. That's when you're going to be doing the spiritual work, and that's when you're going to be able to get a whole bunch of land with homes and monastery homes, houses, then you're going to get that. We're going to get that. I mean, think about what it costs just to build one church. We're thinking the Chernobyl place we call Chernobyl,
yeah.
Which it's still Chernobyl until we clean it out. I think that's meant to be a church. But think how much it costs just to build one church.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. But when you get people converted, we're going to get that money, so be patient. You know, don't be putting yourself in debt now and stretching yourself out beyond your means. I never did that. I always wanted something different, more, but like a bigger place or something, but I never would do it. My way was when I finally didn't have to work at all because I was getting just enough money to live in the RV park because they're very inexpensive. We were able to eat food out of the garbage cans. Ron was great at that.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew how to live like a hobo. This guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I said, now I'd rather live with not much, but all day I can serve God. That's when that started to happen,
yeah.
You know. But if I was to put myself in a position where I had a property I had to pay bills on, I would have to go back and work again.
Yeah.
So as we started getting our properties, more people were coming in, more tithes, just enough tithes were coming in for me to get these properties and to maintain and not have to go out and work.
Yeah.
So you do it in God's time. The main thing is you don't want to be putting yourself in debt if you don't have to. A lot of people like to go out and buy things. They have a buy problem. I'm going to buy, I'm going to have a house, I'm going to have a home, I'm going to land. And they're still in debt with credit cards. I got to pay off my car. You want to go into more debt? That's not frugal. That's not even right. That's sinful, really. It's sinful. It's right. You got to sit back and say, what am I thinking here? Sometimes you have no choice where you're in a position where there's a lot of people maybe where you're paying a high rent. I don't know how some of these people pay the rents in town here. The poorer people. You know, I'm glad, thank God they get some help they do get help like Phil and all that, HUD, because rents are getting up really high and all that. It's hard.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in a position like where they are now with Dermot in the house, it's a perfect, ideal situation. which is what I told them. This is like God put them all there, and it's like they can all help one another. What's good is when you have several different people like that in a place. You're sharing. But my thing is, when we start converting people in Ireland and early here, you're gonna don't worry about the money thing. That's going to be taken care of. So you got to be patient with that. Like with Declan, too, because he has some debts. I said, you got to pay your debts off. Work till you pay your debts off, or most of your debts off. And it's still good to work anyway. Matthew, he works his whole life. He has a lot of money saved up. And the only reason I was trying to tell him, Declan, at the moment now, not the video, is because he still has his debt that he's going to work off. He's got a pretty good job, too, by the way. Similar to something like Sal has. And he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he works 4 days a week at 12 hours, and then the next week he only works 2 days for 12 hours, and he has the rest of the week off. So he has a lot of time off that he never had when he had his other job. But anyway, what I was telling him is, God got them all together in a unique situation over there in this house. It's God's will. It's not very expensive. You can serve God. And I was telling him, too, and even Declan, too, Brother Declan, and he was right when he said this. He'd like to only work part-time. And I said, so that's all I ever did when I came out. I never worked a full-time job because I always wanted to have the rest of the time to serve God. So living with the way they are now with Dermot, they can do that. I mean, Matthew, even when he comes back after he visits here, he only has to get a part-time job. Yeah. I mean, Declan, Brother Declan, once he pays off a good portion of his debt, part-time job. Mm-hmm. So they're both working part-time. They're living in a situation where they can do that. Then they can spend the rest of their time with the spiritual work, learning the faith. Matthew, Brother Matthew's now doing some really good work on the Roman Missal. He's like banging stuff out. I can't believe it. I don't know how he's doing it that quick. I don't know how many words a minute he says he types it in, too. He's not like even, like, you know what I mean, capturing it. And he's doing that now, but anyway, it's good work.
He's a fast server.
And it's interesting, he said, we're going to get to Roman Missal quicker than I thought. And I said, you know, it goes fast, especially when you enjoy it. See, God makes you enjoy this work. If you don't enjoy it, you're not meant to do it. Some people are, but if you're not enjoying it, it's easy. Remember, the learning to the wise is easy. I love it. It's easy. It just flows. If you're not ready to God's a burden and all that. But this is good counsel to these brothers. So the idea of wanting to work part-time is good, and you can do that. They're living in a situation with Dermot now, which enables that to happen. So be content with where you are. Eventually, you want to have a bigger place with more properties for more people, maybe Wayne one day, other people. They're going to come in. It's going to happen. Wait till the people start coming in. Don't put yourself in a position where you're over your head now, because as I was telling them now, you go out and you get a land, you get a property, now you got to pay off the mortgage, now you both got to work full-time, whereas before you only had to work part-time. Yeah. So it's good to calculate, and sometimes like you're saying, in Sal's case, he has to help his family, so everybody has different situations. Yeah. And in Brother Declan's case, he has to pay off his debt that he has. And so he may have to work full-time a little bit, but the way it's right now, he could pay it off fairly quick. And my point is, though, but look even with Brother Declan, the job he's got. It's pretty good. I mean, you're talking like 12 hours. It's a lot, 12 hours a day. I know that, even 10. Sal works 10. He's got a pretty good schedule, too, though. Although, it's, you know, he's got to travel. That's the hard part. But he's working like 10 hours a day, 4 days a week. He's got 3 days off a week. Declan's working 4 days 1 week and only 2 days the next. So he even told me he's got more time off now than he ever had when he was working his other job. But even at that, when he could finally survive off a part-time job, fine. Even now, Sal was willing to take a hit and pay. He can be working for us right now in the fruit business, but his situation may not be bearing that down. But either way, I'm getting back to the work thing. It's very important. You don't realize how much grace you're gaining by doing that. And I knew it when I would go to work. And you think about coming out of a monastery and then you got to go to work. Mm-hmm. I'm over there, all total religious, you know, study. And now I got to deal with people. But I knew it. I would go on the back every day. That there's a special prayer I said. I say about God giving me the grace to work this day diligently, joyfully, knowing that I'm getting a lot of grace. And you feel it. And then when I had off and I was able to do my work, it's like, there's the bonus. Like, God's now giving you the grace to solve a problem that you would never be able to solve in a million years.
Yeah.
And he gives it to you, and you're doing it in that one day because
yeah.
you worked. Because there's other people, they're lazy people sometimes. They use the spiritual excuse because they don't want to do manual labor. Even women, he used to say, they would go to, the women would go to all these prayer groups,
yeah.
and they wouldn't take care of their home.
Yeah.
So they're in the church, all these charismatic women,
yeah.
and these charismatic prayer groups, oh, and they're a bunch of feminists, lazy bastards.
Yeah.
And they weren't taking care of their home, they weren't cooking their dinners for their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And one priest said a good thing, and he said, look, he says, all your prayers and everything you're doing around the house is a mortal sin. You think you're being blessed by God because your duty was to take care of your home and to feed your children and to cook the meals and to clean the home. They were using prayer and their devotions to evade taking care of their home. You think God's going to bless that kind of behavior? You can still have your devotions, but you don't have to, you know, you have a perfect balanced rule, but they were doing that to evade manual labor in the home. I know there's a lot of women like that. The charismatic movement was filled
yeah.
with women like that. Feminists.
Yeah.
What a mess. You know how bad it is?
No.
If you have one of these football coaches that they women interview all the time at halftime, and the best football coach in the world, most successful coach in the whole world, if you said to that woman, go home and take care of your kids and feed your husband,
yeah.
cook his meal, bye-bye!
Yeah.
Next day, he's gone.
Yeah. Yep.
If he tells that woman, announcer, why don't you go home and take care of your family? You know.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He'd be down. These women are weird, too, because they'd rather go out and they work, but they'd rather work for strangers than for their own home. That's another lecture, which I'll get into at another time. But anyway, and then the men are sitting home now, and they're not doing anything, or they're both working to try to make ends meet. But a lot of times, a guy just stays home.
Drugs.
And they give him drugs. Yeah. They diagnose them. See what I said? When you're rebellious and you're lazy, most people you end up in some type of insanity.
Yeah.
You got big demons. God's cursing you, and you sit home. You're bored. You're anxious. God's grace isn't there. You're lazy. You're rebellious. You don't have any friends though because you can't be around people. You're miserable. So you start popping pills, or you're getting drunk.
Yeah.
Or you got some type of crazy mentality going on there. He'll tell you from the chili factory, they would get these kids that were growing up in America to go to the chili factory, and they would work for 3 days and then they would quit.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
3 days and they would quit. The Mexican guys got to come up here and work for Mexico.
Yeah.
If they come from Mexico and they're up here for too many generations, they become lazy.
That cream of fruit.
They don't want to work anymore.
Almost everybody.
It's Mexico
over there. We got four or five crews over there in Portales.
Yeah,
all of them are Mexican.
Yeah.
And they're almost all from Mexico.
Yeah,
born Mexican.
That's right. Because you're not going to get
my crew. They're all born.
Yeah,
all,
and
all
no
born Mexican.
Nobody else wants to do the work. No one wants to work.
No.
These guys are doing.
And they're getting paid. Get this. $30 an hour for the field laborers now. That's the new.
Yeah, because they and they don't want to do it.
And they're still not.
Because they're late.
I don't know how the farmers.
Look, that's why the whole system is so messed up. You know. What do they do? They don't work. We just said it before. You don't raise your kid up to work because if you work him when he's a kid, that's child abuse.
Yeah.
He goes to school and learns all this stuff he doesn't even need. All this garbage in high school and in college. He's now, you got a big, lazy, rebellious bastard coming out of college. Unless he gets a white-collar job and he knows people and he's connected.
Yeah.
But they can't even tie their shoes. They can't change the oil in their car.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will tell you when they came out of college, they'd have to be retrained. Because you come out of college, it's just to brainwash you with humanistic, Freemasonic ideals. And when you come out of college, whatever job you get, they got to retrain you because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
We
receive strong treatment after you come out of
college. Yeah. Exactly. It's true.
I had a guy that worked for a shepherd, and he came out of, he went to college and he studied some biological,
sea anemones.
environment, take care of the environment type of job. And after he got done working for us during the summer, he went back and he was trying to find a job in his field and he couldn't find a job. So they teach him the stuff that they can't even go find jobs with. And he called us up once doing orchard work.
90% of the kids that come out of college are not trained to work any kind of job. Even when they give them like an economics course, it's all this like, it's not even, it's stuff that don't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, when you go out and they go, forget everything you learned in college. Now we're going to teach you what you need to learn, the real stuff.
Yeah.
So you come out and you're like retarded.
Yeah.
You know, they teach you all these idealistic, humanistic, ideological, theistic, mystalistic stuff, you know.
And you owe them 100 grand.
And you owe them 100 grand. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like you eat crap, you know, and you got to pay the guy 100 grand for feeding your crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're giving you steak for free and you don't want it.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to what we were saying in the situation in Ireland, if the way you're living now, you almost, there's a point where you don't have to work, where you can just do spiritual work all day.
Yeah.
And it can, right now, at least where they are now, the part-time jobs, both of them, and then they could rest their work is going to be spiritual.
Yeah.
And then God freed me up. Yeah. When I started to get tithes a little at a time, I don't do any type of work for anybody else anymore. Yeah. I just work for God 24/7. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen with them. Even now, they can already start. Like when Declan starts paying off a lot of his debt and he comes back, he only has to work part-time. Imagine when he comes back part-time, eventually not work at all. Once you start getting tithes, then you guys are just going to be working for the church, you know, which involves preparing yourself for that kind of work, which is studying the faith, answering questions. You know, and if I don't get any help, then I'd have to answer questions to like 50 million people. I mean,
yeah.
You need to have a hierarchy where you have bishops, like the church is the hierarchy, and then you got priests underneath that, and then. Like in the movie Moses. Remember how Moses was almost died?
Yeah.
I teach the people the precepts and the laws, and I teach them what they got to do and all that. Don't you have anybody helping you? Look at that. That's so. But I just, the work thing is, to me, when you're a younger guy and you have the ability to work and you're in that phase of working, you got to go out and work. Do some manual, it doesn't have to be manual labor. It could be, like even me, I didn't do technically manual labor as an optician. The paper route, God gave me a great job on the paper route. That was like, I had to work 7 days a week. I didn't get any days off, but I only worked 4 hours a night, from 12 at night to 4 in the morning. And I made a lot of money on that paper route, up in northern New Mexico here, Albuquerque Journal. I had machines, and I was like an independent contractor. So I'd wake up at 12 o'clock to 4, I'd get home at 4, I'd be able to sleep, wake up like around 8 or 9, and I'd have to go to work to 12 at night. It was great.
What'd you make at night?
I forget, but I was good. Because
yeah.
What happened was I had not only, you have the contracts of the people, because you got to deliver the papers to the home.
Yeah.
I had the hardest route, though, as far as, it was hard because you got to go up these mountains, you got to go up these rocks, things that you can fall off, graveyards, abysses, you know, really. Tell you how hard that route. If you've ever been up, it's beautiful though, but you're out in the boondocks, you know? And then when you have the floods and all that.
Yeah.
But what made my paper route even more better was there was a guy, I had to deliver his papers up to the dam, Abiquiu Dam.
Yeah.
And it was Felix's relative. This guy's name was Press. And a Spanish guy. And I would deliver the papers. I would go up to the Abiquiu Dam, which is about 30 miles away.
Yeah.
I would deliver his papers. I got a whole bunch of money just to deliver his papers every day. Or he'd have to come down and get it in Espanola.
Right.
So I got a lot of money just to deliver him his papers every day, make the drop.
Yeah.
And then I would do my route on the way back, and I had a couple machines. You made a lot of money on the machines.
Right.
When they put the quarters in.
So
I made a good amount of money
on
that. And the one guy said he can never get anybody reliable, this guy Press. They would always not show up. But I showed up every day, and he was so thankful. Even when I left the job, he took me out to dinner with his wife.
Wow.
And I got to witness him. He said, boy, you're the best guy I ever had here. You always showed up on time.
Yeah.
I tell the story. It's funny, too, because the first time I met him, he was coming down because it was my first day. No one's going up there yet, so I had to meet him.
Yeah.
And he was really kind of, kind of gruff and all that. But I always, when people are like that, I'm still nice back. You know, and I'm polite to him, you know. So I know he's a little bit gruff, a little bit rough with me. So what I did was I helped him put his papers in the back of his trunk. And then I was helping him.
Yeah.
And then he went, oh, okay. You know, and so I could have went back at him and would you boss me around? Would you tell me what to do? And I listen, you know. And then you helped him with his papers. He backs off. Then you got to like me. It was not like a confrontational thing. But there's a lot of ways. That's a good thing when you're dealing with bosses too. Even if you have a forward boss in the Bible, it says you have to obey him.
Right.
Even if he's forward, meaning sometimes he's not just, or he's a little over. He was a little bit like that, but I obeyed him, and he wasn't my boss really, but I was helping. I had a deal with him, so I was nicer to him, and so I did. That's the kind of work I had to do, and it was great though because I could pray all night. Yeah. But so God will get you. Oh, to show you how bad that paper route was though. When I finally had to give it over to my Gene Quintana, another Mexican friend of mine I had up there, he took the route over, and because he knew it was a lot of money, but it was so hard. Within 1 or 2 days, his car broke down on the run. He quit.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
When the other guy, what happened was they have the post. They have the. When you're by the main road, they have like your post office stuff there because they would not, the mail don't even want to go up in the mountains because it's too hard for them to go up.
Yeah.
So really a lot of people, with this, they finally did was we're going to deliver your paper into your post box. I'm not going up into the mountains.
Right.
But when I had the route, I had to go up into the mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going up the Rocky Mountains, you're going around, you had to go around
you
the
center. That in the miracle car, right?
The miracle car.
Yeah.
That was the car Ron got
me.
We call it the miracle car. All I'm saying is, I got to do this. You got to do this. Don't complain when you got to work. Work, offer it up as a cross. He worked for 9 years in the chili factory. Do your work and shut up. Don't complain. When you complain is when it becomes really bad. Now, it's okay to try to get another job. If your job is a pain in the ass, it's getting difficult, it's fine to look for another one. But wait till you get another, then look for another job. And God will get you another job. So there's nothing wrong with looking for, and there's nothing wrong with eventually wanting to not work at all. Which is when you get to that point where you can do,
Do you know Mike Rowe, the guy who, the dirty jobs guy? Well, he had a statistic that most of the farmers are, the average age is 60. And the carpenters and the electricians, they're getting up there too in the age. Because
they're not training kids. See, Trump was right about that too.
Yeah.
He did say, he's right about that. He did say you got to train these kids in these to work in these...
And he's trying trade
schools,
yeah.
And he's trying to motivate them to do it. This is a plan to destroy the country from within, and that's how you destroy a country from within.
Yeah.
All these kinds of kids are lazy; they don't want to work. Pornography's all over the place, which effeminizes people, makes them addicted to it. That ruins people too.
They took shop out of high school.
If you took like if you were like somebody, this it was like a stigma to go to a trade school. If you went to shop, you went to trade school, you're like
European.
Peon. You're like, lower class, you know.
Yeah.
You're not made for
it.
Go to a trade school. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Go to a trade school. But that's... That's
what they need now. They need a lot of those vocational guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the kids coming out of college are the laziest, stupidest, rebellious idiots that can't even change oil in their car. They can't do anything. I mean, it's...
But it's true, because you see, like, Justin, the Chinese guy, the technician for this, he's Chinese. The Spanish, they're the guys...
Chinese, too.
The white, you don't see...
All the white Anglo-Saxon knuckleheads.
Yeah.
He's smoking marijuana.
And it's a curse for them.
Yeah.
They're, like, sitting on the top of a... We don't encourage class warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that you have rich and poor classes, and when they work together, it works good.
Right.
But you've got this rich, lazy class of people that are sitting up on a mountain, and they don't want to do anything. They're taking all these benefits, and they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And they're not a benefit to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, like when you look at Downton Abbey, I mean, the guy cared about his property and the people working on it, and he made sure that they were able to have a living and all that. But today, It's a bad thing. But that's, you're going to have that when you have kids coming in here that are not used to working. What I'm saying is you get used to it.
Yeah.
And you could, look, you can get used to it. God will give you the grace to do it. Offer it up and say, I'm making, know one thing for sure, if you're in the church as a Catholic, even a catechumen, you're coming to church, or even on the natural plane, but I'm just talking to Catholics and catechumens now, just know that you're getting a ton load of grace for it. It's either a win-win or a lose-lose. If you complain and you rebel, it's a lose-lose. You're going to be under a curse. You're going to be under a curse. You're going to be miserable. You won't even stay in the church much longer. You would leave. Because you won't want to stay around good Catholics because it's a natural instinct. Because you don't want to obey anybody. You don't want to listen to anybody. So go in your own little cubby hole, your own little corner with your own little self. It's almost like your own God. You're your own boss. You're your own worker. You're your own God. I make this own world of mine and stay away from me like a bubble. When you do, it's okay to stay away from non-Catholics, but when you're doing that with good Catholics, and even on the natural plane, if you don't want to go on work, that's why these kids are so messed up. I'm surprised. They're not even reporting to us half of the stuff that goes on with kids killing their parents and parents killing their kids. I mean, that stuff's going on a lot.
Yeah.
If you really get all the crimes that are going on in the cities, a bunch of miserable bastards, and they're getting what they deserve. That's how they. And the kids are looking, they have nothing to look up to, nothing to look forward to. They were spoiled, they were messed up by their own parents and by their educators. And unless there's God's grace, somehow they snap out of that, they're in trouble. Like even you feel sorry for a lot of these people that are maybe trying to get out of it. So we give them solutions. I know like people here that we had it, I don't want to mention his name, but if I had power over some of these people that were lazy and rebellious, I'd put them in work camps and force them to work. I'd whip them if they didn't work. Put a whip on his back and say, okay, and at nighttime, like let's say nighttime I let them have their alcohol every night or something. I said, well, if you don't work, you don't get your alcohol tonight. But I've also put a whip on his back. Why do you think it's in the Bible to hit your kid? Once you break a horse, he's broken for life. If you know, these kids have never been broken. And I don't think they're ever, a lot of them, Canaanites.
We read in Psalm 31, 9-10. Do not become like the horse and the mule, who have no understanding, who bit and bridle bound, bind fast their jaws, who come not near unto thee. Many are the scourges of the sinner, but mercy shall encompass him that hopeth in the Lord. And Proverbs 23, 13-14. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou strike him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and deliver his soul from hell. And St. Paul says, don't even feed a lazy man. Don't even give him food. St. Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For also, when we were with you, this we declare to you, that if any man will not work, neither let him eat.
All right. So
they're broken, but
yeah, they're broken. Yeah, you're right. They're broken in a bad way. Yeah. You're broke.
Not broken. Mm-hmm. They're broken.
Yeah, exactly.